The priests have corrupted the essence of their calling. They've neglected their walk with God. They've distorted the teaching of His Word. They've become calloused in their prayers of intercession, and they have corrupted their sacrificial offerings.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're with us today for our series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, today we're talking about the priesthood, but for our listeners, what exactly has gone so wrong that's put their whole ministry in jeopardy? Everything's on the line here.
Yeah. The essence of the calling of the priesthood, there's four factors. They were called to walk in integrity before the Lord. They were called to teach the word of God, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? They were called to pray for the people faithfully and offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And so this ministry was really important. It was at the very heart of the temple and all the worship for all of Israel. Everyone rose and fell based off their leadership. And every aspect of it is starting to crumble and fall apart. They're making compromise after compromise in all of these areas. And Pastor Larry, this is relevant for all of us today, because if you just look around, you know, the church in the world today, there's scandals, there's brokenness, there's moral failures. This is not a new problem. And it's not just a problem in our leadership. It's a problem in each one of our lives as well, because there's sin and disintegration in every single one of us. And so these warnings apply to every single one of us who want to follow the Lord with integrity and wholeness. So it's worth leaning into and learning here.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church. This is part two of the sermon, Misleading Ministers. Now, our text today is Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
And God says, all that stuff that's so dirty and unclean, it's going to be all over your faces. I'm going to wipe it on your face, because that's what you're doing to me. With all your corrupt, spoiled, and putrid offerings, it's coming up before my face. And so let's see what you think. Turnaround's fair play. How do you like it? It's graphic, isn't it? Now, of course, God isn't literally going to wipe the stuff on their face. But you see what he's doing here with his language. He's using imagery they'll be sure to understand. Writing categories they deal with on a daily basis, and it's so graphic they can't ignore it. It's meant to shock them. It's meant to grab their attention. It's meant to be unforgettably penetrating. He's saying, listen to me, you're about to lose everything, your office, your ministry, all that I've given you as a blessing to serve me on behalf of the people, it's all about to go away, and I don't want you to go through that. Please turn, turn while you still can. You see, the priests were in danger of losing their ministry. The priests are in danger of losing their ministry. If they don't course correct, all the blessings they enjoy in this ministry they have will be taken away. Just like the offal was taken away outside the city and burned because there was in the curse of a fire, because there was nothing in it that was pleasing to the Lord, so their office is about to be taken away and destroyed. There's nothing in it that gives me pleasure, the Father says. It's a curse. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. So from the curse now to the covenant, verse 4. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. I don't want to void this covenant that I have with Levi, with the priesthood. I want it to stand. I want it to endure. My intent is not to destroy you. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to help you. That's why I'm sending you this command as a warning. Please heed it. Verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. Now, the covenant with Levi is most likely a reference to Deuteronomy 33, verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy 33, 9 and 10, where Moses gives a blessing to each of the tribes of Israel. This one is particularly for the Levites. This is what Moses says: "For they observed your word," the Lord's word, "and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar." So here we get a basic job description, the essential calling of the priesthood. There's four things. They were to walk with God. They were to observe his word and keep his covenant personally. They were to teach the word. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They were to intercede in prayer. The incense that they offered in the temple was accompanied by daily prayers that were offered on behalf of the people. So this is a ministry of prayer, this ministry of incense. So they were to intercede in prayer, and then finally they were to offer sacrifices. There were daily sacrifices, there were periodic sacrifices throughout the year, and then of course the high water moment was the Day of Atonement, when they made a sacrifice on behalf of the people so that they might be right with God. And when the sons of Levi fulfilled this calling, this fourfold calling to walk with God, teach the word, intercede in prayer, and offer sacrifices, the results, he says, were a covenant of life and peace. Instead of death, which is what all of our sins deserve, now the priestly ministry brings people into life. Life before God, and peace, shalom, well-being, peace with God, atoned and made right with him, peace with one another, reconciled brother and sister to brother and sister, peace within ourselves, forgiveness spiritually, cleansing us from sin. And it was because it was a covenant of fear. Not one of cowering, but one of reverential awe before the mightiness of God. Levi stood in awe of my name, God says. He gave me the honor that is rightly due my name. And that's why life and peace flowed through his ministry. He treated me as I deserved to be treated. That's why he was effective as a shepherd, as a minister, as a priest over the people. Blessings flowed through his ministry. Verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. What a great endorsement these few sentences are, isn't it? He spoke my truth. He walked with me. He turned many from iniquity. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He's an envoy of the commander of the armies of heaven. And alas, that the sons of Levi should have fallen so very far from this standard. For these priests of Malachi's day are not like their ancient father. In fact, they're quite the opposite, aren't they? The priests have corrupted the essence of their calling. The priests have corrupted the essence of their calling. They've neglected their walk with God. They've distorted the teaching of his word. They've become calloused in their prayers of intercession, and they have corrupted their sacrificial offerings. The very heart of their priestly ministry has been compromised. You see that? It's nothing like when God set things up with Levi. It has drifted so very far. And so now, like a prosecuting attorney, God is going to bring the charge. The charge. We've seen the curse, the covenant, and now the charge. Verse 8, but you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. So the Lord charges them with three counts, okay? Three counts, three offenses. The first charge is that you're meandering. You're meandering. You've turned aside from the way. You're no longer following me. You're off doing your own thing. Whatever it is you want, that's what you're all about. Second charge, misleading. You're misleading. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. You've led people astray. You've led them wrong. You've led them into harm's way. Third charge, mangling. Mangling. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi. You've twisted your calling. You've cursed your blessings. And what is at the root of all of this meandering and misleading and mangling? Where did it all arise from? Well, it's right there at the end of verse 9. You do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Partiality. You tell one person one thing, tell another person another thing. You're highly selective in what you choose to communicate. Instead of speaking my word with unflinching clarity, you've decided to accommodate to your audience. You've decided you're gonna tell people what they wanna hear. That's what you're doing. And the priests, you see, have led the people astray with platitudes. They just tell people what they wanna hear. Just these little, you know, just offer whatever you want. God's good with just whatever you bring. He's just happy you're here. Forget that first and best stuff. God wants you to be happy and prosperous, and he doesn't mean for you to sacrifice in such a way that it would dent your personal agenda and finances. Just follow your heart. What does your heart tell you? You know that God of holiness that calls out sin? That's so old school. I'm okay, you're okay. God's okay with whatever life choices you want to make. You just do you.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we dig deeper into the story of the priest, but more importantly, how it becomes our story and how it relates to us today. Now, Pastor Philip, this business that you talked about this corruption, this tickling of the ears, that's still with us right now.
Yeah, it's a perennial problem, right? That we know this with our kids. It's easy to affirm them when they're doing well. What's harder is to lean in, to correct them. Like, those are hard conversations. People don't like being corrected. They don't like hearing hard truths. And the reality is, in every generation, in the priesthood, in Malachi's generation, in our generation today, people are the same. We don't like being corrected. And so the gospel comes to us with both good news and but it starts with bad news, right? It tells us that we're sinners and we're dying apart from God, and God is holy and we are imperfect and we're falling short of his glory. And so we need redemption. We need blood. We need sacrifice. We need atonement.
Yeah.
And that Jesus came so that we might be forgiven and cleansed and adopted and freed. And so there's bad news and good news that comes in this one package. And the temptation, I think, in Malachi's day and in ours, is to sort of say, well, we want the good side of that. But the part that hurts, the part that cuts, the part that rebukes, the part that challenges, that's the part that maybe we need a little less of that, you know? And so what happens is we tend to get soft. We tend to say, well, you know, sin doesn't really matter that much. And maybe, you know, people should be free to make their own choices. And we don't have to worry about God's wrath. He's not, his holiness isn't as demanding as we think. There's no hell to pay. You know, and so what we do is we start softening that side of things so that all we have is this soft, lovey, you know, forgiveness, compassion, and this sort of softer side of salvation. The problem is that doesn't transform us. You can't just take lovey-dovey and have a transformative thing. There, we need to repent. We need to confess our sins. We need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. There's a whole lot of abrasion that has to be a part of our salvation. And so this perennial problem has always been the same. It's nothing new. But in our day, we can see it all the time, right? We could see pastors that don't want to talk about sin, or hell just gets put on the shelf. Or we redefine hell and we say, well, it's not really real. It's not eternal. It's not conscious. It's not, you know, that's all over the place these days. Or people that just say, well, you know, Old Testament God feels full of wrath, and there's all these standards, and New Testament's just loving. And so, like, we need to get rid of the Old Testament and just really focus in on the New Testament. Like, those are all the same basic failure of the priesthood that we're seeing in Malachi, the basic failure to say, we're not going to give you the whole counsel of God. We're going to pick and choose, and we're going to be highly selective, and we're going to give you this stuff that's appetizing that you want to hear, and we're going to kind of hold back and hedge on the things that would challenge and rebuke you. And that is corruption. It's corruption in the priesthood. It is a failure to be faithful to the whole counsel of God. We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what we need to be as pastors, as ministers, as parents, as church people. We got to be willing to hold on to the whole counsel of the Word of God.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're talking about our responsibility as priests. And I'm so glad you made that distinction. We can't have God our way. So extra blessings, extra grace, but hold the obedience, please. I love that. But you mentioned the Old Testament. And for a lot of people, Old Testament laws just seem so arbitrary, and they don't make a whole lot of sense. And some of our listeners may even be thinking, why doesn't God just lighten up on some of these things? It's too much.
Yeah. Well, so there's a helpful way to think about the Old Testament law, because we are in the New Covenant, and not everything transfers over in the same way. And so there's three basic categories of things in the law. You've got civil law, you've got ceremonial law, and you have moral law. And so the civil stuff is sort of how the government of Israel was to work. And because we're not a theocracy today, those don't apply in a direct line. So that's easy to distinguish. The ceremonial pieces that related to the temple and worship and sacrifice, Jesus is our sacrifice, and he's the better temple, and we're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, that's been shifted, the way that's administered and all of that. So there's a sense in which Jesus has fulfilled that, and it's been, in a sense, completed. But then there's the moral law of God, which, of course, Jesus is our righteousness. And so he fulfills our moral standing before God in every way. We're righteous in Christ, not on our own. So that's an important distinction. But the standards of what morality look like, what holiness looks like, what righteousness is, those are unchanging because they're rooted in the character of God. And so the moral components of the law, you're going to find that they get reiterated in the New Testament. They haven't changed. They're rooted in the character of God. But the way we go about pursuing that moral life has changed. Instead of striving for it as a standard that we can't ultimately achieve in the old covenant, now Jesus is our righteousness. The Holy Spirit resides in us. And by walking with the Spirit, we're going to walk in the path that righteousness defines. And so that path of righteousness will be fully consistent with the path of righteousness in the moral law of God that we see in the Old Testament. So it's not like we can just get rid of that stuff. It actually is fulfilled. And the way we pursue it in the Spirit changes in the New Testament, but the standards haven't changed.
Because now we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ himself because of his atoning blood on the cross. But some of our listeners may be asking, so what's required of me, and how will I know it? And all of these warnings that we've been talking about, what does that mean for me, and what's it mean for the church today?
Yeah. So in the new covenant, we are filled with the Spirit, and the Bible is really clear that the Spirit will lead us into the kind of righteousness that the law required and actually fulfill and go above and beyond that. So Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, the old standard was don't murder, but now don't even be angry. The old standard was don't commit adultery, but now I say don't even lust in your heart. And so the Spirit in the new covenant kingdom that we live in is outdoing what the law required. Paul says in Romans that we who live by the Spirit fulfill the righteousness of the righteous requirements of the law. In other words, the standards haven't changed, but the power now, the engine inside has changed, and the Holy Spirit is writing the law of God on our hearts. He's giving us a new heart, tenderized by the Spirit, that is able to walk out and fulfill in our lives the righteous requirements of the law. So what the law aimed at but could never deliver the power to fulfill, now in the new covenant by the Spirit, we are able to walk in, not perfectly, but walk in paths of righteousness. And of course, we aren't perfect, and we won't be until we stand in glory. And so every day is a day for repentance and confession as we as we walk by the Spirit and we learn to surrender to His will. And so that righteousness is increasingly being born in our life as fruit of the Spirit as He leads and we walk with Him. And so that's relevant for every single one of us. This is not just standards for old priests that, you know, we can just kind of say, well, that's interesting historically. The same God is calling us to the same kind of integrity, the same kind of intentional, white-hot pursuit that takes holiness seriously, that does not move the standard, but follows God even when it's hard. And that white-hot pursuit is something that every single one of us can take seriously in our lives and should.
Amen. We haven't received a watered-down version of the Holy Spirit. He is the dunamis for us, the power that convicts and enables. The Spirit empowers us towards that white-hot pursuit of holiness that Pastor Philip was just describing. And as we've heard today, the temptation in every generation from Malachi's day to our own is to tickle the ears. It's so much easier to offer a soft version of salvation that skips the hard truth about sin and the necessity of the cross. But as Pastor Philip warned us, a gospel that avoids the abrasions of repentance doesn't actually have the power to transform anybody. We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth if we want to be the people God is refining us to be. But let's be honest, pursuing that kind of integrity in day-to-day life is hard. It requires us to be daily nourished by the Word of God. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Rebecca Lutzer's book, Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. We're offering Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. You know, I know Rebecca Lutzer, and she's been a pillar of our Moody Church family for years, and she understands if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we need to have God's law written on our hearts. It takes these deep theological realities like the fear of the Lord, spiritual discipline, and the power of obedience and makes them practical for your life tomorrow morning. Now, whether you're navigating the pressures of the office or the challenges of home, this book helps you stay aligned with God's Word. And friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, I can't think of a better way to honor the spiritual mothers in your life. The gift is a treasure trove of truth that builds them up with the spiritual endurance really we all need. This is the last week we're offering Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, we'll look more in depth at Jesus' ongoing ministry right now. Now, you don't want to miss this. Thank you for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.